Good morning, very warm welcome to you all, Talofalava, Malolale, Bulavanaka. It is Pentecost, the 21st service of Pentecost, and we're very grateful to have Reverend Tavaki Manu take our service this morning. So very warm welcome to 10 a.m. We're very grateful to have you here. Just quickly, I'll go over the safety briefing. Should a fire alarm sound, please use the exit doors and leave immediately. Do not assume it is a drill. Call 111. Remain at the assembly point, which is the car park outside, and do not drive away as there could be people assembled. In case of an earthquake, drop cover hold and evacuate the building once the shaking has stopped. If it is a large earthquake, please walk up to the Pukeahu National War Memorial at the top of Taranaki Street. And for children's safety, parents are responsible for the safety of their children at all times. Thank you.
I'll say again, welcome to our service this morning. It's good to be here, a place where I found my faith as a youth and departed for find my way in the careers and come back here and got married here by Keith Taylor, was the minister here. But it's good to come back. I'm just posted this year to Trinton as an army chaplain, and I've been an army chaplain for almost 15 years. And it's good to answer the call. The ministers here called me and said, look, can come and help out. I see the stationing, and we got a minister here next year, probation, which is great. It's also a great, it's a good month, a month of servanthood. We will be remember the Laborers' Weekend, and also it's a week we pray for peace in the world. And in the place I'm working with, we need a lot of peace in the world. Let's begin by call to worship. Grace to you. Oh, I'm going to invite you. Can you please stand? Please. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. God, King of kings, Prince of peace, the floods have lifted up their voice, yet you are more majestic than the waves of the sea. Your throne is the foundations of the earth, your crown the stars of the universe. I long to hear your voice, the voice of truth and grace. Let me find it in Christ and live in dignity and freedom to honor him. Amen. Let us sing our hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Thank you. Please be seated.
The reading is from Psalm 104, verses 1 to 9, and verse 24 and 35 is written in the order of service. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations so that all shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they flee. At the sound of your thunder, they take to flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Belina. Now we have a prayer of invocation. In our times of freedom, be present with us, Holy Spirit of God. In our times of responsibility, be clearly by our side, Jesus Christ. In our times of aloneness, in the face of life and its decisions, hold us in your loving arms, O God. As we gather here, we stand within all these times. Holy God, so please show us that you are near to us now. Amen. Let us have our prayer of confession. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus said, this is the great and the first commandment. And the second is, like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us bring our sins before the one true God in penitence and faith. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon us and set us free from all our sins. Strengthen us in goodness and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Forgive us and restore us. Heal us and call us into life. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The second reading is from the book of Job, chapter 38, verses 1 to 7, and verses 34 to 41. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. On who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavens being shouted for joy? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings so that they may go and say, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts or given understanding to the mind? Who has the wisdom to number the clouds, or who can tilt the water skins of the heavens when dust runs into a mess and clots cling together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their tents or lie in wait in their covert? Who provides for the raven its prey when its young one cry to God and wander about for lack of food? Amen.
Thank you. We're going to sing again. God, O God, our help in ages past. Gospel reading for today, and then he will read it. It's Mark chapter 10, as by order of service.
James and John, the son of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not among so you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give its life a ransom for many." Amen.
Amen. May the blessing of the gospel bless each one of us this morning. And thank you for the reading, Melina. Let's just pray. Loving God, we give you thanks as we come to interpret your words. We pray that your spirit and your wisdom will hover upon us, and may the reflection is a reflection of from your realm, but not from our mind. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it's good to share this morning something that I've been journeying with before, 15 years ago, before I went to army chaplains. I went from Paris minister to prison chaplains, and prison chaplains to army chaplains. And it is truly in my experience with the prison chaplains, every time I leave at 5 o'clock, either Sunday after service, you can really, truly see Christ's eyes in these prisoners that they come to church. And something with that always have a grip on me as I experience in a community of prisons. You know, people, media say low life, no heartbeat, but some of them, they really come to accept Christ. But then when I shifted, I realized throughout the ages, that throughout the years, that our nation, New Zealand, has become very secular country. We once used to be a very faith community country. If you drive around 80s, 90s, you see how many little churches all over the place. Now you can see a building look like a church. It's become a coffee shop. And it's a real test for a Christian community. But I can say the nations and the way that we change safety in regards with children and women's and protection of individual are going very well. But somehow along the way, we dropped faith. I remember I was posted to Wairu. That's 4 years posting, looking after recruits, our young people who joined the army and come in and join the army. They started from there for 3 months just to get to change their mentality to become military person. And we have church every Sunday. I have an hour every 2 weeks because we operate in a model like Whare Tapawha. How important it is the physical health, mental health, and the spiritual health, and your social life or your whānau and tikanga. And it was only a very few handful, say 5% or 5 or 6, who come from a faith community, and the rest don't even know anything about faith. And then it's quite fascinating because all soldiers, the warrant officers, they vary within their faith community. And the first Sunday, they'll ask all these recruits, say 150 who come in, and they'll ask them, who want to go to church? And there were about 6 people who wanted to come to my church. And then, you know, they come to church. And the warrant officers will take them for a run up the mountain. The following Sunday, he asks them, who want to go to church? Everybody want to go to church. And in our church, I do things like this. I put all the readings in there. I encourage them, because it is hard training. When things hard, have a look at the prayers on Sunday. Read it again. It will give you peace. You know, by the end of 3 months, they all come out really, really into their spiritual life, because you're walking on the death every time. You blow up stuff, you shoot weapons, and it can go wrong any time. Fatality become very spirituality. And when I was ranked, I just go back to my old formation and put this is what I do in church. I just put in an order of service with all the readings. And I'm sorry, really, Andy, if you read too much this morning, but I wanted all our soldiers to take it away, and I don't know, they can throw it in the rubbish. But one day when they are in stress, they might find it and read the readings and pray again. And I had a soldiers. I'll get back to the readings, but I think I'd like to share Sakura country. I had a soldiers. He was a corporal. Very very fit, very strong. But he knows there's something wrong with him, and he's been journeying with that for about 6 months. He found that he feels weak, and no matter. But he keep trying to push hard, to train hard. And then finally he couldn't get out of the bed, and he went to check up with the doctors, with the health. And when he went to do all his health, and then they sent him to hospital, he came back, and they said to him, you got 3 weeks to live. You did have cancer, and because of your fitness and that, you probably very hard to feel it as much, but it come to. And there was the part of the job to arrange. You've got a welfare house. You're going to be there because you're going to have the family to come there. And then he wanted to see me. He wanted to know what's Christian faith all about. What Jesus is all about. And a few days on the week that I came to see him, all he wanted is to get Jesus to heal him. Because the news is so bad. I think we all, if we had been told that we got 3 weeks, we will try everything. And then we're trying to work through. And I know we all went to, most of us, we all went to Sunday schools and youth. It's like a long process to become a Christian. But I gave him these readings to read to encourage him. And the readings is from Luke, it's chapter 23, 39 to 43. And I'm just going to share with you. I said, look, this is the story, the main story that I think you can read. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." That was just probably 5 seconds, becoming Christian and go to heaven. You know, 2 weeks later, we did the funeral for these young soldiers. His mother then up from north. I went to pick her up from the airport. We stopped because there was a phone call. And then at the phone call, she was in full of tears. I wasn't so sure if, because she's coming to her son's funeral. But she was not, she's very emotional. And on the way to the hospital, she said there was a doctor confirming I'm positive with negative, positive with cancer. During the week, the son passed away. I talked to her. But she was in almost the same thing. She wanted to know, who is Jesus? What Christian faith is all about? You know. So I gave her the same reading. And then after funeral, we depart. She go back home. I stay back at the army. And that is the question that we always walk as Christians. We all know the story that Jesus told us. The man went and hired some workers. He went early in the morning, and he went at 11. He went at 3 o'clock. And at the end of the day, he pays them. He pays them the same. And the one who came in the morning was so angry. "Hey, why are you paying him the same? He only started two hours ago." And we know the story. Jesus said, "It is my money. I base accordingly to what I want to do." So that brings us to our story this morning. In Job, the first time when I read Job, God was sitting there and all his children came, and Satan was among them. So God asked him, "Hey, where have you been? What are you doing?" And talk about Job. "Hey, do you know my servant Job? He's a good, honest man." And Satan said, "Yes, I know. I didn't want to touch him because I know you protected him." And God said, "No. Go and see if you can bring him down with his faith." And we come to the reading today. The Lord speaks out of the storm and reminds Job that he is the wise creator God. And this parallel passage to our Psalms that we read this morning. In the Psalms is a song in praise of Creator God, who by his wisdom has made the heavens as well as the earth and all fills it. And then we come to our gospel. James and John ask to be in the most powerful places next to Jesus when he comes to rule. And Jesus replies, if you want to be great, you must be the servant of all the others. The incident in our gospel reading from Mark today is also found in Matthew. Matthew 20:20-28. Once again, if we study the text, in Matthew's account, it is their pushy mom that is seeking pride of place for her boys, James and John. Only in Mark's account does Jesus ask, are you able to baptize and the baptism with which I am baptized? But if we consider a reading from a few verses earlier in the Gospel of Mark, with Jesus' passion announcement, this sets the context for the dialogue with James and John. A ransom for many. Jesus says that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. Commentators often make reference to the fourth, seventh song of Isaiah, which tells of the suffering servant of the Lord giving his life as an offering for sin. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all the others. To be first, you must be everyone's slave. To be great, you must be a servant. And the word used in servant in Greek is diakonos, which means sometimes translate as deacon or minister. It is used for one who waits on tables or by extension who executes the demands of another. To be first, we must be everyone's slave. And the word is doulos, which also has the meaning of servant, but carries an additional meaning of being in bondage. This is the person in ownership and service of another. Born slaves must disregard their own interest in service of their own owner. Mark has recorded for us in our gospel reading today its misguided request James and John. I'm sure that he has not recorded in his gospel just to embarrass them. It's there because there is a lesson for us. There is a lesson about prayer and about what is expected of us as disciples of Christ. Pray right. Jesus said, just announced to the disciples that he was about to be condemned to death. In the process, he will be mocked, spit on, and flogged before being killed. And this was the second time that he had spoken directly about how he was going to die. The dialogue with James and John is all the remarkable, considering that it is a follow-on from Jesus' announcement of his passion. They come to Jesus and say, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And how many sincere prayers begin with an attitude just like this? I've been thinking about it, God. and here are the things I want you to do for me. I like you to do whatever. And then we ask, I need a better job, a more comfortable life. The whole idea of lordship is that we become to God in prayer, seeking to fulfill His will. But we can so easily trip up trying to get Him to meet all our needs and desires instead. He is the Lord, and we are His servants. It is not the other way around. Contained within the prayer that Jesus taught us, your kingdom come, your will be done, there is the suggestion that we may have to drastically realign our expectations. It's not that we can't make requests for ourselves. It is just that our attitude has to be one of seeking God's will in its circumstance. Rather than just pushing ahead, assuming that God will climb on board with our plans. James and John came to Jesus asking him to give us the place of glory and honor. This kind of prayer doesn't quite fit the requirements. So we are encouraged to pray right. That may mean that we have to pay the price. Are we able to drink from the cup that Jesus must soon drink from? And to be baptized as Jesus baptized? Yeah, sure, James and John casually respond. What were they thinking? Perhaps their mind went back to the story of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan. The descent of the Spirit, the voice from heaven, yes, they'll be up for that. And maybe they fantasized raising a cup of celebration with Jesus as he inaugurated the new kingdom. Yes, they didn't drink from that. But the cup and the baptism were both referenced to Jesus offering his life. The question Jesus asks is, are you able to offer your life? As he put it in on another occasion, are you willingly to take up your cross and follow me? They really had no idea of the price they have to pay for being followers of Jesus. As best we know, very early in the church history, James was martyred for his faith, as were countless other Christians. There is a price to pay. There is a vision that we should strive for. I'm not too sure. I know going with the journey with Christian with our Methodist church, there was a time that we say, you know, we don't have much youth. Maybe they're better off if we send it to the Baptist church down the road because there's a lot of youth. And then we decided we don't have much children. We can close that sector. Education division needs to be run from here in the church. And we struggle with money and we closed it. And I know with our Pacific Islanders youth, lots of them have gone to mostly Baptist church or Pentecostal church. They find lively with their spiritual life, with kind of music that they like. And we are shrinking badly. We keep saying we should change. But are we still asking to be seated at the right, on the right, left hand of of the Lord. Some challenging things that I, challenging time. But if you go back 20 years, the minister standing here was telling us it was a challenging time. If you want to be great, says Jesus, you must be the servant of all others. He takes the concept of greatness, shakes it up and down, and stands it on its head. We think we know about greatness. It has to do with fame, glory, riches, and power. You know how it is with leaders who like to rule over other people, says Jesus. Don't act like them. In his estimation, there is nothing great at all in the arrogance that seeks to lord it over other people. Nevertheless, in every organization of people, including churches, we find those like James and John who are preoccupied with hierarchy. They are very concerned to know how people stack up in relationship to each other, and especially want to ensure that somehow they are near the top of the heap. Don't act like them, Jesus demanded. Jesus redefines greatness, and I wanted to finish it up with this morning. Jesus redefines greatness. In his estimation, greatness is defined by our willingness to serve, and he himself sets the burden. And you have been willingly to serve, since that's why we're here. He sets the burden. The Son of Man did not come to be slave master, but a slave. To be a follower of Jesus is to follow his example of humble service. This is what it means to be really great. Humble service. May God bless us this morning. Amen. We're going to sing our next hymn. And we go through our offerings. As we go through, there's no plate passing, but after the service, there's a plate in the back. Please put your offerings in there. But we're just going to go with the prayers in it. Let us sing our next hymn, He Came Singing Love.
Make it a song, you and I.
sisters, please remain standing, and I'll just, as we wanna bring our gifts to God. Gifts arise even from those who has faith is sometimes small and weak. Let us pray. Receive our gifts, O God. We bring them in hope as those who have glimpsed your risen life within our own lives and around us as a vision for a new world transformed by your faithfulness to us all. Amen. Please be seated. Stephanie will.
Thank you, Reverend Faki. What a meaningful message, a reminder of our role as servants to really serve as Christians. So a very clear message. Thank you so much. And just before I read the intercessory prayers, I'll just go over the bulletin. So the leaders' meeting is this Tuesday coming. So if there's anything of your concern you'd like to bring to leaders, do come and see me or Alan. We are always grateful that Reverend Utumau and Reverend Samoti are available for support if we need them. And we're also pleased that Reverend Utumau will take over the superintendent position next year, giving Reverend Samoti a break. And of course, as many of you know, we are have a new presbyter next year, Reverend Nicola Grundy, and we look forward to that with great promise. So is there anything else anybody would like shared? So now I'll read the intercessory prayers, or prayers of intercession. We pray for one another, for our families and friends, and all those through whom we learn to love and to be loved. Thank you for all who care for us. Give us grace to serve Christ by serving our neighbours and our community, loving others as he has loved us. We thank you for the unfailing love you hold out to everyone in Jesus Christ. Comfort and heal those in sorrow, need, sickness, or any other trouble. Give them courage and hope in their distress, and bless those who minister to them. We remember with gratitude your many gifts to us in creation and the rich heritage of these islands. Help us and people everywhere to share with justice and peace the resources of the earth. Give wisdom to those in authority among us and all leaders of the nations. We pray for your church throughout the world, thanking you for all who serve Christ and his kingdom. By your Spirit, strengthen your people for their work and witness in the world. Unite us in your truth and love, that we who confess your name will also reflect your glory. We remember with thanksgiving all who have died in Christ, and we rejoice at the faithful witness of your saints in every age, praying that we may enter with them into the unending joy of your heavenly kingdom. Merciful God, you look with compassion on all who turn to you. Receive the prayers of your people. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. We're going to sing our last hymn, Trust and Obey. abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not the burden we bear, not the sorrow we share, but the torment of which we repair. Not the grief, nor a loss, nor the fruit, nor a cross, but it's blessed if we trust in obey. To trust and obey, but we never can prove the delights of His love. May the God who shapes heaven and earth, whom death could not contain, and who lives to both disturb and heal us, bless us with the power to go forth in faith, hope, and love. Let us say the grace together. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and forever. Amen.